Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are going to be talking about Tesla's 10Q for the second quarter. We always get some interesting new details from that filing. We've also got updates on Giga Berlin and Shanghai, some news on FSD beta. And with the off day on Friday, we did get some huge automotive industry news, although coming from Volkswagen, so we'll talk about that. All right, considering the post-earnings price action in Tesla stock on Thursday, we've had a couple of relatively quiet days on Friday and today, Monday. Tesla closing down 1.4% today to $805.30, while the NASDAQ was down just 0.4%. We've got a pretty big week this week outside of Tesla before we head into Tesla shareholder meeting next week, but this week we do have the Federal Open Market Committee meeting. That's on Tuesday and Wednesday, so Wednesday afternoon before market close, we will get the updated interest rate decision and any other changes from the Fed, and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's press conference as well. As we've talked about, the expectations for an interest rate increase have been hovering between 75 basis points and 100 basis points. As of today, CME Group puts the probability more in favor of a 75 basis point increase at about 78%, and a lower 22% probability for that 100 basis point increase. Then on Thursday, we also get the first preliminary estimate for Q2 GDP. Of course, that was negative in Q1, officially or unofficially. If we do see two negative prints back-to-back for GDP, that'll fan the flames of recession conversation. So it'll be interesting to see that on Thursday. And then throughout all of that, this is a massive earnings week with Microsoft and Google reporting tomorrow. On the automotive side, we have GM as well. Then on Wednesday, we've got Meta and Ford. And Thursday, Apple and Amazon. So it should be an interesting week, should be a busy week, and we'll definitely keep an eye on some of those external factors. All right, focusing in on Tesla, I want to start off with Tesla's 10Q filing for the second quarter. We always get some interesting new details on the quarterly results from these filings, and I know they're a bit cumbersome to read through, so I'll do my best here to recap the highlights. We're going to start off with automotive cost of goods sold. That's obviously critically important. As we have talked about, of course, Tesla's automotive gross margin, excluding regulatory credits, fell from 30% in Q1 down to 26.2% in Q2, so dropping 380 basis points. That means that although Tesla's average selling price did increase quarter over quarter by about $3,600 per vehicle, their average cost of goods sold per vehicle increased by about $4,700. Tesla on the earnings call talked about a number of factors contributing to that increase in cost of goods sold. They list those in the 10Q: raw materials, commodities, logistics, expedite costs, ramping up production at Berlin and Texas. But in the 10Q, we also get a specific call out here that says that there were also idle capacity charges of $168 million due to the temporary suspension of production at Giga Shanghai, as well as the ramping of production at Gigafactory Texas during the 3 months ended June 30th, 2022. So that is just idle capacity charges. There are other costs associated with ramping Giga Texas, for example, that are excluded from that number that Tesla is talking about here. But apparently Texas, and not Berlin, in addition to Shanghai, had some idle capacity charges. Had those idle charges been avoided, which they are likely to be avoided in future quarters, even as the ramps continue, remember Berlin not called out here, so other ramp costs still included, avoiding these idle charges would have increased Tesla's automotive gross margin X credit by 120 basis points or 1.2 percentage points up to 27.4%. Those charges increase the cost per vehicle by about $700 per vehicle or about 15% of the cost of goods sold increase that we saw quarter over quarter. So that's a big chunk that we can be confident won't be consistently recurring and should raise confidence in margins increasing quarter over quarter for Q3. Moving into energy, which was one of the nice surprises for Q2, as we had talked about, margins swung from negative 12% in the first quarter all the way to positive 11% in the second quarter. We've talked in the past about how some of the energy business can be a little bit lumpy just because of the timing of contracts. So one of the things I was curious to see in the 10Q was whether or not there was a big chunk of deferred revenue, maybe helping drive the energy business this quarter. But the good news is that there wasn't. Tesla in the 10Q says that there was only $79 million of deferred revenue in the energy business recognized in the first half of this year. So that's Q1 and Q2 combined. So I had to go back to the 10Q from Q1. There was $52 million recognized in the first quarter for deferred energy revenue. So just $27 million here for the second quarter out of the $866 million in revenue for the energy business. So a very, very small percent coming from deferred revenue. So I think that's pretty good news on the energy business. And then Tesla also says that they now have grown the deferred revenue balance for the energy business up to $678 million. Last quarter, that was only $481 million. So Tesla actually added about $200 million of new deferred revenue this quarter for energy. If Tesla had actually been able to recognize all of that revenue this quarter, it would have been $1 billion plus quarter for Tesla Energy. Some other insight on the energy business, Tesla says that year-over-year revenue increases were driven primarily by solar cash and loan deployments and Powerwall, which they say was partially offset by lower deployments of Megapack. So Megapack deployments down year-over-year for Q2, Tesla also says that's the case for the entirety of the first half of the year, even though the 10Q from the first quarter said that Megapack deployments were up year over year. So Q2 was so much lower year over year that it drove the entirety of those two quarters combined below last year. So what's likely happening here is Tesla, in the face of supply constraints, is limiting Megapack, putting those resources into Powerwall. That's higher gross margin, as Tesla has said. That's going to be a major contributor in the swing in gross margin that we're seeing from Q1 to Q2. Now, Tesla doesn't specifically say what drove the change quarter over quarter. They only mention versus last year, but they say that the increase in margin year over year was primarily attributed to Powerwall. So if we do see Tesla shift that mix back towards Megapack from Powerwall, I wouldn't be surprised to see the energy margin decline until Tesla is at a higher level of volume. And remember, there is some pretty sizable deferred revenue building up there in the energy business, and that could also be at a lower margin. As for services and others, we saw that margin swing back positive as well, but we don't get much detail in the 10Q on that. I'm still going to guess that's driven by used car sales. All right, moving into operating expenses, we saw a big surprise here with Tesla coming in quite a bit below expectations. That was mainly driven by R&D, which came in $200 million or so below Q1's level. Tesla talked about how some of those costs have been shifted now into automotive cost of goods sold rather than R&D. We don't get a ton more information on that in the 10Q, but we can get a little bit of insight by looking at what Tesla does share, which is the level of increase in each bucket of R&D from last year's numbers. So although we can't compare directly Q1 versus Q2, what we can do is look at each of those quarters' comparisons to last year and see how the changes differ in each of these quarters. So on the left, we've got Q1. On the right, we've got Q2. We've got the 2021 actuals on top, and then Tesla's explanation of how individual buckets of the R&D expense line changed year over year, which then add up to the 2022 actuals at the bottom. So for example, we can see that in Q1, there was a $90 million increase year over year for R&D expenses related to facilities, outside services, freight, and depreciation expenses, whereas in Q2, that only increased by $14 million year over year. So a much less significant increase in Q2 than what we saw in Q1. And then the other major increase was employee and labor-related expenses. That increased by $75 million year over year in Q1, but only $47 million year over year for Q2. So between those two lines, you've got about $108 million less of an increase from last year's numbers for Q2 than what we saw in Q1. The rest of the buckets, stock-based compensation, expense materials, and other, those increases ended up being pretty much the same. So it gives us a better idea of how some of those costs have been accounted for and how the R&D line itself might be looking going forward. The other major bucket for operating expenses would be selling, general, and administrative costs. Nothing major in the 10Q there, but we did learn that Tesla recognized $8 million of stock-based compensation from Elon Musk's 2018 performance award, and now there is just $9 million of that left. That should be recognized in Q3. And then the final bucket for operating expenses is restructuring and other. This has the Bitcoin impairment, which, as we had talked about, netted out to be a $106 million impairment. Turns out that was comprised of a $170 million impairment, but also a recognized $64 million gain from the Bitcoin that Tesla sold during the quarter. So that just means that what they ended up selling at, that was a little bit higher of a price than the carrying value was. I believe that could have been before this quarter's impairment or even after it, but pretty immaterial to figure that out at this point in time. A couple of final interesting tidbits. Tesla did note on the call that they had a foreign exchange impact. They talk about that in other income, noting that while other income was still positive in the second quarter, it was $17 million less positive than last year, which Tesla says was primarily due to fluctuations in foreign currency exchange rates. So we don't know the exact hit from foreign exchange, but it doesn't seem all that significant based on that line. And then last couple of things, Tesla did increase their guidance for capital expenditures. Previously, they had said over the next couple of years, $5 to $7 billion per year. They have increased that by $1 billion, now saying that they expect capital expenditures to be between $6 and $8 billion in 2022 and each of the next two fiscal years. I'm guessing a decent portion of that increase, if not the entirety of that increase, is driven by higher costs that Tesla is seeing. Finally then, always good to check on deferred revenue. Tesla says for FSD, Supercharger Network, over-the-air software updates, deferred revenue is about $2.66 billion, and they say of that deferred revenue, they expect to recognize $1.02 billion over the next 12 months. Pretty similar to what they had said in the first quarter, 10Q, it's about $70 million higher. All right, so those are the main things from the 10Q, not bad for 7 or 8 minutes or so. If you happen to see anything else interesting in there, please let me know in the comments, but we'll move on to a couple of updates on Giga Berlin. First up, we've got a report from Tesla Meg. They are first saying that Tesla is expected still to restart production at Giga Berlin today, July 25th, after a couple of weeks of downtime for upgrades. But they're saying that during that downtime, Tesla took the opportunity for some testing, including the first test production of a 4680 structural pack Model Y. So this is a follow-up on a previous report that we had heard that Tesla was bringing in some of the components for the structural pack, 4680s, etc., from Giga Texas, because of course those aren't made on-site at Giga Berlin yet. But part of this report was that one of these test vehicles would be produced with a front casting made at Giga Berlin. So it doesn't tell us much on timeline, but good to see Tesla continue to make progress on the test vehicles there. And they also took advantage of this downtime by testing out the paint shop. Drive Tesla Canada reporting that sources have told them that Tesla tested out the new Mercury Silver Metallic and Deep Crimson Multicoat paints, and that those tests appear to have gone well, and the vehicles have been sent to North America for validation. They say the new rumored third color Abyss Blue Multicoat would be done in the next few weeks. Berlin, of course, so far has only been producing black or white vehicles, so hopefully these tests go well, and we see these new colors soon. Alright, next we've got a new rumor on Giga Shanghai. This is from Wuwa, who does drone flyovers there. He says on Friday he visited the Luchao Harbor Farm, which is a vast area of land, which has been rumored to be a site that Tesla is interested in for further expansion, or, you know, a new factory there right next to Giga Shanghai. But there were some previous reports that Tesla had no longer had interest. Now Wuwa is saying that there is some demolition work being done there, and with speaking with some residents in the area, they are unanimously replying to him that a Tesla factory will be built here. So again, just a rumor at this point in time, but based on things that I've heard, I do expect Tesla to continue expanding Giga Shanghai above the, you know, 1 million plus run rate that we are seeing them get to right around now. So anything more I hear on that, I will pass along. All right, next we've got a couple updates on FSD Beta 10.13. Of course, it has not yet made its way outside of Tesla, but we do have a screenshot here from Dirty Tesla that he has apparently been sent by somebody else. And it looks like the visualization of the route plan goes out a little bit further on 10.13 than what we have seen in past versions. It could just be an updated visualization, or maybe a visualization of something that's been updated with the planner. But we'll try to get a feel for that when we do actually get to test FSD Beta 10.13. As for when that might be, Elon saying this weekend that maybe that would be the end of this week and that the team is working super hard on it. We'll look forward to that. And then to kind of wrap up with Tesla and Elon stuff, if you did happen to see a Wall Street Journal report that Elon Musk had engaged in a quote-unquote brief affair with the wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, saying that this was a major factor in the couple filing for divorce and that Sergey Brin is still not speaking regularly with Elon. But Elon has categorically denied this, saying that this is total BS. Sergey and I are friends and we're at a party together last night. He shared a selfie with Sergey in it, although he's not looking at the camera. They both seem to be having a good time. There's a chef that's verified on Twitter that claims to have catered the event and says that he can confirm that this was yesterday. And Elon told the New York Post in an email that Nicole and Sergey's divorce has absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm sure both Nicole and Sergey would confirm that. I spoke with both Sergey and Nicole about this, and they say the story isn't coming from them. So it must be a case of broken telephone, two or three layers removed, end quote. So hardly worth covering really, but given the amount of attention that this has received, felt worth at least sharing those details on it. All right, the last item for today, which I was hoping we'd have a little bit more time to discuss, so we may have to circle back on this a little bit, but as you've likely heard by now, Herbert Diess has been ousted as the CEO of Volkswagen, and he will be replaced as CEO by Porsche CEO Oliver Blume. So we've talked about rumors of this possibly happening. We've talked about supervisory board meetings that have put this in the balance. Many times over the last 18 months or so, we have seen Diess's position at the company be reduced in terms of its power. So it's tough to say that this is all that surprising. Still, it is a shockwave for the automotive industry, and I think a very disappointing step for the outlook of Volkswagen. Now, we haven't agreed here on Tesla Daily with every single action that Volkswagen has taken over the last few years under Diess's reign, but he has been very, very clearly the most outspoken in terms of recognizing and acknowledging the change that needs to be made for an automaker like Volkswagen to try to keep pace with what's happening in the automotive industry because of Tesla. Now, maybe others realize that and are just a little bit less vocal about it. I think Jim Farley is maybe the closest to Diess in that regard, but most refuse to acknowledge it publicly, and I think in many cases even to themselves. So we'll need to do a little bit more research on Oliver Blume. I know we've talked about him and some of his comments on electric vehicles in the past, but I don't remember those at the present point in time. It's tough to see how this could be really a positive move for Volkswagen, though, in terms of continuing to head as aggressively towards electric vehicles like Diess was aspiring to do. Now, of course, the other question with Diess specifically that a lot of people have is, oh, maybe Diess will come over to Tesla, do some role for Giga Berlin. As I've said before, I find that exceedingly unlikely. I mean, Diess is now 63. He's been in legacy auto his entire life. from an external perspective, he definitely gets what's going on, but internally at Tesla, maybe not the best cultural fit. So I would be very surprised if something like that happened. Plus, Diess is actually still under contract with Volkswagen until October 2025. That contract was just extended not that long ago, and there is already a precedent at Volkswagen for dismissing a CEO and continuing to keep them on payroll until the end of that contract, but not really actively working on anything. So my guess would be that Diess does carry out that contract in sort of name only, and effectively this would mark his retirement, though that wouldn't truly happen for another few years. I'm sure if Diess really wanted to, he could probably get out of that, but I'm sure that's a pretty nice retirement plan. So again, I think a lot more to discuss on this topic. We'll definitely come back to it, but disappointing, I think, for Volkswagen and disappointing for electrification. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, July 26th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.